Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hey folks, you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 113 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on June the 20th, 2016. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Orlando universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy, Beaterman. I was trying to make a beard reference. Peter Mandel. I was trying to say Bearder Mandel.
You should have practiced that one ahead of time.
In my head, it made a lot of sense.
You were like, let me rush right into this.
Yeah. No, like, I was like, my genius must be pushed out to the masses. You do have quite the glorious beard right now, though.
Yeah, I'm rocking a crazy beard. I know. Yeah,
like, no, it's like full-blown, like, mountain man beard at this point.
Yeah, it's bananas.
All right, so my good buddy, Peter Mandel. We can try that.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Pete, what's going on?
What are you doing?
I'm all right. Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day, and we want to share that magic with you. So pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. A little less beardy than you, but you know.
Yeah, you have no beard.
No beard. Rocking the no beard.
No beard.
But yeah, you know, it has, only been, you know, we didn't miss a week between episodes this time, so that's pretty fun.
That was good. Good job.
Yeah. A lot of good feedback on our last top 10 list, so I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, that's pretty fun.
Itching to do a Disney in-depth again, actually. I think maybe next week we'll have to go in-depth on something, but not this week, because this week, folks, we've got a special guest in the house with us. You know him, you love him, you probably book your trip through him. He is Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, Disney travel agent extraordinaire. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, Kev, hey, Pete, how's it going?
Oh, Dave, we love having you on the show, Dave. Thank you for coming on.
Like being on the show, like looking at Pete's hockey beard.
Yeah, it is kind of a hockey beard. I will not lie.
It is. It's a little crazy, I know.
You're doing our Canadian listeners proud right now.
You know, it's not on purpose either. I'm extremely lazy sometimes.
You know, but like you get like some poutine in that beard and then like it's all over.
That's usually the mark. When Heather has to take something out of the beard, that's when it has to officially go.
Has there been, like, guac in the beard?
Yeah, if that happens, it's bad. She doesn't like that.
Yeah.
She's done with it anyway. She's ready for it to go.
Yeah, I'm about ready for it to go, too, not going to lie. I mean,
maybe by next week.
I appreciate it, but, you know, I find your chin to be one of your finer features, so.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Usually, back in the day, Pete used to grow the hair and the beard up until the Disney trip, and then and cut his hair and shave it all off, like. Because when we first started the show, you were rocking, like, the full-blown, like,
oh, yeah.
Like, Jesus at a comic book store kind of look.
Yeah, I had a crazy, that was wild.
Your hair was, like, down past, like, your chest and.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and your beard was huge. And then, like, you went to Disney that year and you just shaved everything off.
I don't like to go to Disney, like,
No.
Crazy. Is that weird?
No, it's actually not weird at all. Okay, but Dave is here, and that can only mean one thing, folks. That means we are going to be opening up the email bag this week. So we are going to hop right in. First, we got the news, of course, brought to you by Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney or Universal vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Okay, so worldwide news. I know it's not Walt Disney World, but I wanted to touch on the opening dedication for Shanghai Disneyland. So neither of you guys really watched it, right?
I had thought about watching it, but honestly, I'm never going to go there, so I didn't care that much.
Yeah, Dave, you didn't watch it either, right?
No, I did not.
All right, so I watched it with a lot of our friends from around the world in our Facebook discussion group, which is facebook.com/group/2menandthemouse. To put it bluntly, girlfriend X threatened me and told me I had to watch it, so I did. Here's the thing. I mean, we've watched dedications before, you know, for Disney parks, like, you know, to all who come to this magical place, welcome and yada, yada, yada. Like, we've seen Walt dedicate Disneyland. We've seen Roy dedicate Walt Disney World. And there was just a sense of Disney magic about it. Like, you know, like, don't you love watching that old clip, Pete?
I like watching Walt, sure.
Not Roy?
I mean, Roy too, of course, but you don't see that one as much.
But, I mean, this was like a battle-weary Bob Iger. Like, to all who come to this happy place, welcome. Like, he did that same speech, pretty much.
Okay.
But they were like, I feel like when they opened up Seven Dwarves Mine Train, like, he was up there, but he also had, like, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves with him. Like, I feel like Mickey should have been up there with him. There were no characters. A Chinese choir dressed in, like, the Chinese, like, the red and yellow, which can either mean they are representing the country of China or Hulk Hogan. I'm going to assume China, because Hulk is a real American.
Right.
They got up and they sang When You Wish Upon a Star in both English and Chinese. And then Iger got up and he did his thing. And then a bunch of, like, you know, communist leaders of China got up and spoke in Chinese. And then they cut a ribbon. And then, like, a bunch of characters came out, waved, and left.
Hmm.
Now, here's the interesting thing. Guess which character led them all out? Like, the first character out the gate. Like, the big character that came out to rally the crowd and be like, this is happening! This park is open for your enjoyment and your magic, Peter Mandel! Who was it?
Was it a face character?
No.
Woody?
No. Guess seriously.
why not Woody?
Why would it be Woody?
I don't know.
All right, anyone that's not messing with me would guess Mickey Mouse, probably, right?
Okay, yes. Sure.
Yeah, Duffy.
Yeah, Duffy.
I was going to guess Duffy.
Yep, Duffy led the character charge out the gate.
I can't believe you didn't text me.
Here's the thing. I knew that Duffy, like, was big in Japan, but I didn't know he was big in China as well.
You know, he's big in Asia.
It's so weird to me. It's just one of those other things that Americans, like, just don't get and don't care about.
Well, not all Americans, but...
Well, I mean,
it's like American soccer.
Exactly. It's like soccer in the States.
I like soccer also, so maybe that says something about me.
I do like soccer as well. But, you know, like, Bob Iger just, like, they cut the ribbon and, like, I don't know. It was just weird. It didn't have that Disney magic to it. And Bob Iger just looked tired, dude.
Well, it's a long flight.
Well, it was a long week for good old Bobby. Okay, so, moving along. We got no Disney Springs resort or water park news this week. We have some Magic Kingdom news, though. A little bit. So we're going to spend some time in MK right now. You ready?
All right, let's do it.
All right, cool. The character meet and greets have shuffled around a bit. They've moved Anna and Elsa out of Princess Fairytale Hall and to their new home in Epcot at the Frozen's Royal Summer House in Norway. Which
wow,
I got to visit that the last couple of days.
So is that the only place you're going to get to meet them now?
Yeah. Like, I was shocked. Like, why not leave them in both parks?
I think that's weird. So I guess they're still in the same costume in Epcot?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Well, one thing it'll do is people will now have to spend a day in Epcot, where a lot of the young families said, we're not going to Epcot. It has nothing to entertain us.
Right.
But half the little girls have to go see Anna and Elsa.
Do you think that the Frozen hysteria has died down a bit, though? Like, do you think it's still... Yeah, I don't think it's nearly as big as it used to be.
I mean, I think Disney's still trying to keep it full steam. You
of
know, I mean,
course they
have
are.
The,
it's the biggest the, cash cow they've ever had.
The production that just opened in Disneyland. But I don't think it's as crazy.
No. We'll see what happens when Frozen 2 comes out, whatever that's going to be. But... So Tiana and Aurora have taken their places.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so now Princess Fairytale Hall is Cinderella, Rapunzel, Tiana, and Aurora.
No, that means Tiana's not in that awesome spot in Magic Kingdom?
No, and I had heard a rumor that they were pulling Naveen completely out of the Magic Kingdom now, so.
Oh, man.
Snow White has moved from just the... she was originally just kind of in the town square. She's now moved into the town square courtyard where Aurora used to be. And Daisy is no longer greeting in the town square, but you can still catch her over at Pete's Silly Sideshow.
Okay.
Not Peter Mandel's Silly Sideshow, but Pete the Cat. Okay, so the smoking area, there's been a change to the smoking areas for all you smokers in the Magic Kingdom. Basically, it's not good news for smokers, but probably good news for everybody else. These two of the four smoking areas have been done away with, Peter Mandel.
Okay.
That is the one right next to the entrance to Adventureland, and the one in Tomorrowland over near Space Mountain. So the only places where you can still have a cigarette inside the Magic Kingdom is in the Storybook Circus path that leads into Tomorrowland, which is so far removed from everything, most people don't even know it's there. And the little area they have outside of Big Thunder, which is also very off to the side, very, you know, enclosed. Here's the thing about that Adventureland location. Every time I walked by there, I was choking on smoke.
Right.
It's very centrally located.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
Yeah, Dave, have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, so I'm very sensitive to smoke, and it's like any time drives me crazy.
Yeah, like even the Epcot smoking locations, like they're usually like off to the side, like behind something or something like that. But so now in Magic Kingdom, which honestly, do you foresee a time when there will be no smoking in the Magic Kingdom?
Sure. Why not? I mean, if you had told me that you wouldn't be able to smoke in restaurants anymore, I would have, you know, if you told me this 20 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, I'd like to see him try and force that. But you can't smoke in restaurants anymore, you know?
Yep.
So sure, why not?
I mean, somebody actually made the, like, one smoker was, like, outraged and actually made the point online that this is an outrage. Walt Disney was a smoker, and he would he'd be outraged at what you're doing. I'm like, Walt Disney died of lung cancer. Like, at the end of the day, like, this is 2016, you know.
Right.
And to be honest, like, those smoking locations are never really that packed.
Listen, Walt wouldn't smoke if he was alive now. I mean, we just know so much more now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, people like to pretend that Walt in the 1950s had to adhere to the same political correct standards that we adhere to in 2016, and it bothers me. Like, it really gets under my skin when people do that. So, there's also a location outside the park now. They just opened it up. It's near the ferry boat queue, where you can smoke outside the park. So, there you go. So, I saw Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair.
How was that?
To be honest, God, you know how I love to put a positive spin on everything? I was really not a fan of this.
Okay.
I think I just felt Dream Along with Mickey was catchier, more fun. Here's my main complaint, because it is very well choreographed. The original song is cool. I enjoy that. Dream Along with Mickey was like, yay, dreams. Dreams are so cool. Aren't dreams great? And Donald's like, oh, who cares about dreams? And they're all like, oh, Donald, you should care about dreams. And they do that awesome thing where Donald and Goofy dress up as Smee and Captain Hook. You know, Minnie and Mickey dance with the princesses and the princes. It's awesome. Then Maleficent comes out and is like, no one cares about dreams. And they're like, yes, we do. And then she's like, no, foiled again. And that's it. There's conflict. There's like a story that's told. There's no conflict here. The show is friendship, friendship, we love friendship. Oh, look, here's Tiana and Naveen. They love friendship, too. Don't you guys love friendship? We sure do, Mickey. And then they go away. And then they're like, oh, it's Rapunzel and Flynn and the gang from the Snuggly Duckling. Isn't friendship great? It sure is, Mickey. And then they leave, and Anna and Elsa and Olaf come out. And they're like, Anna and Elsa and Olaf, isn't friendship great? And they're like, it sure is, Mickey. Let it go. Let it go. And then they leave, and then all of them come out together, like all three of the couples. And they're like, hey, everyone, isn't friendship great? And they're all like, it sure is. And that's the show.
But that sounds like a great show for, like, little children.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, why not throw a villain in there? Why not have Dr. Facilier?
Why is every... They just
why
had
not throw
Dr.
Facilier and Mother Gothel in there? Like, why
I'm
not?
I'm pretty sure that doesn't work.
It worked when Maleficent came out. It worked in the show that predated Dream Along with Mickey, when, like, Captain Hook and Sean Yu and all of them came out. Remember the Jolly Roger would, like, appear on the side of the thing?
Maybe they're skewing this to a younger audience. That's who watches this.
And honestly, it felt like, and I felt like, okay, this show is not for, like, because it plays like an episode of Sesame Street. Like it kind of plays like an episode of Sesame Street. It's,
well, that's good.
Yeah,
which there's a large small child audience at Disney World.
And you know what? Here, my official review is: if you're going with small children, they will enjoy it. They use the new character designs from Shanghai.
Okay.
Tiana and Naveen are actually in Nolan's gear, not their, like, princess and prince gear.
Oh, nice.
Like, Tiana's wearing the flapper dress.
Cool.
You know, it's good if you just want to listen to some music and, you know, that Olaf that they have out there actually seems like the facial expressions are just so advanced on it. And, yeah, I mean, you know, that's about it. I miss like Dream Along with Mickey when like the podium would rise up at the end. Like, it doesn't do that anymore. But each,
maybe you were just attached to Dream Along with Mickey.
I was around for 10 plus years. I really enjoyed
That's
it.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe, you know, you got to give this one like more of a chance than one viewing. You
know? I think so. I think you're right. Epcot news. La Cantina de San Angel breakfast. They're doing breakfast there now.
Huh.
Quick service location in Mexico. But Kevin, you might be saying to yourself, World Showcase doesn't open until 11 o'clock. Well, certain areas in the Mexico Pavilion are opening at 9 to coincide with the overflow from Norway.
Makes sense.
They believe that more guests are going to be motoring. Honestly, I'm shocked that all of World Showcase is not open at 9 now.
You're not going to open the whole thing.
Yeah. But so they have a bunch. They have like three different egg dishes there, and they have a kid's like egg thing. If you don't like eggs, this is not the breakfast for you. And that will be open daily from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. for breakfast. And then at 11 a.m. they start serving their normal, you know, chips and guac and tacos and burritos and stuff like that.
Right.
Man, that is some good guac though.
Their guac is pretty good.
Their guac is good. It's probably the same exact guac, but I will say the guac at what is the one inside the pyramid? Where you and I met up?
St. Angel Inn?
No. The little tequila bar. Everyone's screaming at that. I know. Why am I blanking on this?
Because you had tequila.
Probably, yeah. La Cava del Tequila. They have really good guacamole in there.
I've never had their guac.
It's really, really good. I really enjoy it.
Tequila place, a kiosk open yet?
It's closed down. I think it's closed down because they're anticipating the line overflow from Norway to run into Mexico. I have heard rumors that they're relocating it, so we'll see. Okay, so also opening early now is the Grand Fiesta Tour featuring the Three Caballeros.
That makes sense also.
Yeah, so, you know, like if you're waiting around for an early morning fast pass, go ride Three Caballeros a little bit. It's right there, right next to it. So the pyramid will be open for people to go through. The shops won't be open, but you can go over, ride the ride, have some breakfast, and then go do all your frozen stuff.
Right.
So I got to take a walk. The Royal Summer House was open for a soft opening over the weekend.
Okay.
So I got to go in. I didn't go through the Summer House because it was a 25-minute wait, and I'm not that into meeting Anna and Elsa. But I did go Facebook Live with our friends from around the world, and we went into the gift shop there. Pretty, you know, standard frozen gift shop. One thing I was not happy about, though, because you know how like everyone's like, oh, the Arendelle Pavilion, and everyone's like, no, it's still going to be Norway. Don't worry about it.
Right.
We walked up, my sidekick and I, my friend Lexi, who I call sidekick. We walk in, and the Norwegian girl there goes, "Welcome to Arendelle." And I said, "Aren't we in Norway?" Like, I don't like that.
Well,
don't take away from this being the Norway Pavilion by calling it Arendelle.
But they really have, right?
Didn't... Yeah, but at the end of the day, Disney has been solidly defending the fact that this is not an Arendelle Pavilion. This is a Pavilion.
Did somebody tell me that, like, Norway's pulled out of... Like, Norway is longer...
I've never heard anything official on that.
Thought I heard that buzz.
Like, pulled their support away from the...
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to look into that further before declaring that as fact, but, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. But then again, why would they? Because their pavilion is about to become the most popular pavilion in World Showcase.
Yeah, but their pavilion has nothing to do with them.
Yeah. There's nothing educational about Norway in there at all anymore.
I like that part.
My cousin, Skipper Crispy, actually got to ride Frozen Ever After today. It opens tomorrow on the 21st. He told me that it is, he said it was very good, and it is an excellent, he said... What was it? I'm trying to remember his exact words about it. He described it as a... he called it a perfectly worthy successor to Maelstrom.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds like a corporate line.
I feel like people are expecting a little too much with this, though. I feel like they're expecting it to be Shanghai Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
And it's like, you can't do that because you're having it take over an existing ride system. It's not...
Right.
Like, you have to build... like. We can expect that from Avatar. We can expect that from Star Wars and Toy Story Land. Like, we can expect that. We should expect that level, I think, because that's all things that are being built new. But when you're taking over an existing ride system, you can't expect that much. I'm expecting to see really awesome audio animatronics.
I'm really bummed out that the polar bears aren't going to be there.
It's okay. They were moved.
To where?
There are polar bears in the new Soarin'. And we said, it's the polar bears from Frozen. They got a new job.
I love polar bears.
Which actually brings me to my review of the new Soarin'. So I got to do Soarin' Around the World the other day. You know, somebody in a review actually complained that I talk about the things that I do at Disney on the show too much.
Really?
Isn't that the point of the show? To talk about Disney and like...
Maybe they don't want to hear what you did.
I don't know. Like, you know, would they rather I not talk about the new story? I digress. Like I told you before, they redid the queue. It's carpeted now. There's new interactive games coming in there. I'm not sure if it was in there yet because I went in the fast pass line. Flew right with all three open. I flew right through the fast pass line.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, no, like that fast pass line moved. Like,
well, that's good news.
We were right in. Because that was always one of the major faults of Soarin', I believe, was the fact that, like, the fast pass line, maybe skip 10% of the line and you still have the other 90.
Right.
But no, like, we flew through. And so, obviously, the new screens looked amazing when I did Soarin' Over California on them. Stunning when I did Soarin' Over the World. I mean, it's so awesome. Like, all the different places you go to. They actually have transitions now. Like, it's not just, like... Remember, like, it would just be, like, blink, and all of a sudden you're in, like, the Napa Valley?
Right.
They do it where, like, certain things will turn into other things. Like a mountain will all of a sudden, like, glow, and you'll all of a sudden be transported to China or something like that.
So now it uses magic.
I guess you could say it's magic. Okay. One of the big news items to come out of that is that Patrick Warburton, your chief flight attendant, Patrick, is still in the attraction.
That makes me so happy.
I know.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. The only difference is, I think they take out one time where he said the word California.
Okay.
He just says, welcome to Soarin' instead of welcome to Soarin' Over California. And, the kid that he's like, great job, pal. He used to be wearing a Disneyland shirt and they changed that as well.
Like, digitally?
I don't know. Somebody told me about that after the fact. I didn't notice that. But I got to say, Soarin' has been improved in every way.
Good.
All new smells. Like, all new, like, sensory experiences.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. Like, you know, gone are the days of the orange groves. But you can smell, like, they do a much better job of creating the smell of the ocean.
Okay.
There's also an interesting smell of grass and dirt at one point.
Hmm.
Very, very interesting. It doesn't end in Disneyland and Christmas anymore. It ends.
Right.
It has an ending that's much more befitting, but it still pays homage to the end of Soarin' Over California. I'm trying to not give spoilers. So, any questions about it?
Yeah, tell me exactly where you go, like, throughout the whole ride.
No, I'm not going to tell you all that.
Oh.
Seriously, anything that you want to know that's not spoilery, like anything you want? Oh, the score,
awesome,
and it's the same score, just retooled a little bit.
Okay,
it feels like more so than any other like attraction. It feels like Soarin' Over California was a movie, and this is the sequel.
Okay.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, because like there are so many elements of Soarin' Over California that still exist. Patrick, you know, Soarin' to Tower, we're ready for takeoff. And you, like the ride vehicle is the same, but you still get that iconic bum, bum, ba-da-da-da. And that was what I wanted the most. Like I was really worried that you weren't going to get that.
How have the waits been?
I mean, when at Rope Drop, the line was, because they hadn't opened up the queue yet, the line was, people got scared because there were pictures that went viral. I think Main Street Mouse posted them where the line went out the door to Soarin', and then it went up the stairs, around the hallway, and out into Future World.
Wow.
But luckily, that is not the case. All day, like, it was like 90 to 100 minutes at certain points in time. But other times it was 45, 50 minutes. So that's the beauty of having three theaters.
Sounds good, Kev.
All right. Okay. So
I lost Pete's picture.
Last but not least, Disney's Animal Kingdom news. The refurbishment for Dinosaur has been extended. It's going down July 25th. It was originally set to reopen September 30th. They pushed that back a couple weeks to October the 17th. No word on why, just we know that it's happening.
Adding more Bill Nye?
Oh, gosh, I hope so. Like, could you imagine if, like, it's like Velociraptor, Brontosaurus, Science Guy, and he just, like, pops up from, like, behind a tree? Hey, guys, it's me, Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
With Ellen for no reason. He's got an Ellen audio animatronic.
Well,
him.
You know, they did, like, oh, my gosh, could you imagine if they did, like, a crossover ride? Like, in Dinosaur, we encounter Bill Nye and Aaron on their Ellen on their time travel journey.
Oh, that'd be great.
It would also be great if Aaron popped up.
Yeah, just full-blown crossover of everything we like.
Yeah, just and Sunny Eclipse is there, like,
yeah.
Like, hey, humans, I popped in to see the dinosaurs go extinct. Like, be like, that's kind of morbid, Sunny.
I'm going to write a song about it.
I mean, there's like, you know, there's like a renaissance that's coming in a couple of million years. Like, you could time travel over to that and, you know. Are we just assuming that Sunny Eclipse can time travel now?
I mean, that space, like, you know, organ has to do something.
Agreed. I feel like it does more than just play music.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, sometimes he plays the music, but sometimes it plays it all alone.
Right.
So. All right. So that does it for the news this week. We are going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back with our e-ticket attraction of the week, answering your email questions. So stay tuned, folks. More Two Men and the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier, makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. It sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You give them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. If you and your family are taking a trip to the Orlando area this year, your little ones deserve to stroll in style. Lugging a stroller from home can be an annoying and frustrating part of the first leg of your journey, and renting those hard plastic strollers from Disney theme parks can be both costly and uncomfortable for your kids. Well, I'm here to tell you about the solution to your child transport problems, and that's Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is a Disney-featured stroller and crib provider that does exactly what you're looking for at a great price. Not only is it less expensive than renting a stroller from the theme parks themselves, but these are padded luxury models with features like drink holders, canopies, storage baskets, and more. What's more, you keep this stroller with you for your entire trip, whereas park-rented strollers, you gotta return them before you leave the park that day. This is gonna make those late-night post-fireworks bus stop queues so much easier, and dad's shoulders are gonna thank you for it. So, how does it work? You just go to kingdomstrollers.com and make your selection on the stroller or crib that's right for your child. Just let the good folks over there know a great time for delivery and pickup and where you'll be staying. You can pick your stroller or crib up from the luggage stand at your resort and then drop them back off there at the end of your stay. So pack light, leave your stroller at home, and save up to a whopping 50% versus park price stroller rentals when you visit kingdomstrollers.com. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving things that you dream of in The Wisdom of Walt, and put Walt to work for you. The experts told Walt Disney that it would never work. A giant theme park where parents and children could play together? Crazy. So Walt put all of his money into this crazy dream of his. He put his reputation on the line, and anyone else would have quit, discouraged and disillusioned. But Walt Disney built Disneyland. So how did he go from dreaming to doing? And how can you do the same, no matter what your goal? In The Wisdom of Walt, Professor Jeffrey Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, Barnes creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. In The Wisdom of Walt, you'll learn to listen to your Walter ego and start trusting yourself, go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland success, make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet, and create e-ticket experiences that keep coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available in four different modes: hardcover, paperback, ebook, and audiobook, and it has been the number one bestseller on Amazon in five different categories, including theme parks and personal success in business. To pick up your copy of The Wisdom of Walt today, go to Amazon.com or check out thewisdomofwalt.com. With The Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Do you like the Disney parks? I do too. So does my little sister. That's why we started a podcast about them. Hi, I'm Dimitri Ravanis. The name of our show is The Extra Magic Hour. You can hear new episodes each and every Thursday here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. You can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, in addition to telling you what we love about the parks and doling out some news and tips, we'll do something a little different. We'll tell you what we hate about the parks, where the mouse can improve, and we'll do some fighting. Well, not fighting. We call it friendly debate. Things that Disney fans have been debating and arguing about forever and ever. You'll hear them played out in real time between a brother and a sister every Thursday right here on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Folks, you guys, the Mousers, our Disney family, are so important and vital to the success and the continued just existence of this show. So much so that we do a regular segment where we give control over the show over to you guys. You know, like, we have given control of the show over to other people before. You know, we used to let Corinne Chandler come in and, you know, occasionally do, you know, for Mouselanius, and occasionally do trivias, and she would just steer the show into a wall, like, terribly. Like, she's just an awful, awful person, and, you know, just should never, ever be back. I kid, obviously. Do I, though? But anyway, this week we are opening up the ever famous email bag. That's right, folks. It is the email bag, coming to you guys once again, where Pete and I, along with Dave, will answer your questions about Walt Disney World and Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Universal Studios, anything that we have expertise on, we will be sharing with you guys here today. So, are we ready to hop in?
Let's hop
into our informational machine here. Before that, I wanted to give a quick shout out to two cast members who are listeners to the show who actually got engaged recently.
Oh, cool.
Disney World cast members Candace and Tyler. Congratulations from Two Men and the Mouse. So I love that. I love Disney engagements.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so the first question coming to us today that was submitted by you guys over on facebook.com/group/two men and the mouse. What is, so for all of us, Cheryl Pavia asks, what are our favorite moderate resorts? Like, what is our favorite moderate resort?
Oh, come on.
I mean, we know with you and I, it's Caribbean Beach. I think it was more a question for Dave.
Caribbean Beach is the one.
I know.
Yeah, well, that's a relatively tough question. I've spent 6 trips at Coronado because of conventions.
Yeah.
But that's not my favorite. My favorite for a variety of reasons is the Port Orleans French Quarter because it's close to the Magic Kingdom, and it's a little bit quieter. But basically, if there's a family of 5, then it just goes right down to the Port Orleans Riverside or your favorite, the Caribbean Beach.
Right.
And either one are fine. They both have their pluses and minuses, but the
what would you say sets French Quarter apart from all the others?
The French Quarter, I just love the baguettes and being a little bit quieter. The one thing, the downfall with the Port Orleans French Quarter, is it's not in most rate discounts.
Oh, okay.
Where the Riverside and Caribbean Beach are included in most discounts.
Do they have the baguettes at Riverside too, right? I believe.
Probably.
Okay.
But I know they're at the French Quarter.
Okay. Dave, tell me, what do you think is a minus about Caribbean
Beach? He might still have some in his beard.
You have a long beard, Pete.
I know. Dave, what's a minus about Caribbean Beach?
It's a little bit further away from the Magic Kingdom. It's very, very spread out.
It is very
spread out. It's a little bit better and less minuses now because now they have queen-size beds. It was the oldest resort and is the last one to get fixed up. But now I sell almost as many of those as the Port Orleans.
Okay. Makes sense.
You know, I would say, and I've stayed at Coronado 3 times, my only fear and the reason why I don't recommend Coronado to people, I've been there while there are conventions going on, and sometimes it's too much.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I mean, the best thing about the Coronado is they do have a business class, which isn't too much more money than the preferred, and you get like a continental breakfast and then drinks and some cocktails.
I do love me some continental breakfast.
Do you?
I do. Especially down here in the South, because there's usually biscuits and gravy involved.
No pork roll?
No, unfortunately. I did manage to find some down here, though. All right, so
it's Taylor Ham, Dave. It's Taylor Ham.
That's true. It is Taylor Ham.
Julie Highland says, we are doing another split stay next year. What is your opinion about things to do at and near, she says WL. I assume that means Wilderness Lodge. Without park tickets, we enjoy lounging and resort days.
Well, hopefully they know, Julie knows, that the Wilderness Lodge will still be under construction through 2017. So besides watching the guys on the scaffolding,
right,
the main pool is open. They could go over to Fort Wilderness and go horseback riding.
That would be my recommendation.
Carriage rides over there. There's even archery lessons.
Yeah, you know what? Fort Wilderness, like, I had never really explored it before recently, and there's so much to do at Fort Wilderness. Other than just see Hoop-Dee-Doo.
Yeah, you got a Hoop-Dee-Doo, you got the Mickey's barbecue. You can also, if at the Wilderness Lodge, watch the electrical water pageant or parade.
Oh, true. Very true. You can definitely watch that go by.
And I believe most of the resorts, I know Fort Wilderness has the movies with Chip and Dale, and you can make some s'mores.
Yeah, and you know what? And I really enjoy the the pool at Wilderness Lodge. I think that's a really nice pool.
And then there's not that far away is the mini golf.
Honestly, what I would do without park tickets, I would love to do like a tour, like a resort food tour. Like try like the lounges and all of the different, and all the different resorts. Like go to Whispering Canyon, go to Trader Sam's, go to before 8 o'clock because she has kids. Go to the Grand Floridian Cafe. Even go to like Pop the food court there can't be missed. So I mean, I think there's a lot. I think you can fill a whole day without park tickets. And honestly, I would also say Disney Springs. Go Disney Springs it up because I really enjoy Disney Springs.
Yeah, especially if you're going. You know, if you're not going to the parks that day, why not go to Disney Springs in the morning?
Yeah, that's
cool. It can't be crowded. You know what I mean?
No, it's not crowded in the morning at all.
It's a perfect time.
Nice.
I mean, especially there's so much to do there right now. Go and take a look at everything.
And listen, and I know this is not something people will typically do on a vacation, but they have a one of those dine-in AMC movie theaters, and if you don't have one of those where you come from, that can be kind of like a luxury where they bring you where you can order like drinks and actual like restaurant food while you eat. And they actually have some really good food at that dine-in AMC. So, you know, watch a movie and eat. You know, if you're going to eat in Disney Springs, it's one of the many places you can go. I know that it's not something most people would ever think of doing, but I like it.
I get that.
Adam Rogers asks us, what is the best restaurant for the value at City Walk? So, I mean, I will admit my City Walk dining experiences have been limited.
I've only eaten in one place there.
Where did you eat?
Emeralds. I mean, I've eaten there multiple times, but it's hard for me to pass that up if I'm there.
But for the value, he said, do you get a lot bang for your buck at Emeralds?
Well,
or do you think it's
I mean, you know, it's definitely one of the more high-end restaurants there.
It's a celebrity chef's restaurant. It's going to be expensive. I didn't eat while I was there. Like, I was just kind of hanging out with friends at Cowfish over at there.
That intrigues me.
You know what? Like, the menu looked really good. The prices were, I mean, it was expensive, but it wasn't, like, super expensive. One place that I'm dying to try, actually, is Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville over there because they have these nachos that just look out of this world. There's nachos and guac, but, like just loaded up. It's like a mountain of nachos.
Right.
Dave, do you do a lot of eating over at City Walk?
Yeah. The City Walk, I ate at Emeralds and I ate at Bubba Gump Shrimp.
How was the Bubba Gump Shrimp for the value?
Yeah, I'd like to eat there.
Was it good for the value?
Yeah, but it was mostly everything was deep fried.
Okay, well, yeah, it makes sense.
But it was relatively good.
They have a really good hot dog place there, too.
Bubba Gump's was really good. I mean, a lot of things were deep fried. They did have some non-fried food. It was very good. It was inexpensive. I think most of the main dishes were around $17 to $20.
Okay. Next question. Elizabeth Burbridge says, I will probably call Disney to check, but if you get the one-day ticket and add a water park option, it says you can get two visits to the water parks. My guess is that those visits don't have to be on the same day as the one-day admission to a real park, and all three visits just need to be used within a 14-day window. I believe she is correct on that. You don't, like, it's not like you have two visits and you have to go to both Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach in one day.
That is correct. You have 14 days from when you started.
Okay, so you can pick any day of your vacation to go to the water parks then.
Correct.
Okay, cool.
But for the one-day ticket, she has to proclaim ahead of time when she buys it if it's Magic Kingdom or Epcot, Hollywood Studios, or Animal Kingdom.
Okay, yeah, that's true because the price does vary. So she's buying a one-day ticket and adding the water park option so then she can go to the water. So, like, she can do the one day and then go to the water park the next 2 days then.
Yes, I believe so. That would be correct.
Ben Power says, how many days in Orlando do you need to make visiting SeaWorld worth it on a trip with Mako now open? Also, are more guests shortening their trips to avoid studios, or have you not seen any changes since all the closures in that park?
Let me point out that Kevin had to move to Orlando
to go to SeaWorld. Yeah, I mean, listen, SeaWorld is great, and if you have the time, I mean, like, the only people that I ever really see going to SeaWorld on their vacation are folks from the UK that are here for, like, 3 weeks.
Right.
I would say you need to be here for at least eight to 10 days to make SeaWorld worth it. And don't get me wrong, I like SeaWorld. I really, really do. But to take away a precious Disney or Universal day for SeaWorld, like, unless you're here for, like, if you did, like, a marathon trip like Pete did, where he took 2 weeks, where he did 10 days, like, that's the only time I can see it being done. What about you guys?
I took that trip for 10 days and didn't go to SeaWorld, but that's just me. You know, for me, I mean, yeah. I could spend 2 weeks in Disney, no problem.
Makes sense.
Dave, I can barely justify going to Universal yet SeaWorld.
I agree.
So SeaWorld would not be, I would have to be there 2 weeks.
And that's why SeaWorld markets so heavily to their annual pass holders.
That makes sense.
Because like we're the ones that come in and just kind of do most of the stuff. So Travis Garrett said, I would love to know where the most bang for your buck restaurant is. So like, what do you think the restaurant is that you get the most food for the least amount of money?
Oh, man.
Like, what's a good bargain restaurant, I guess, is what he's saying.
I mean, it's such a... Disney World, anyway, it's such a science. And, I mean, you're eating in Disney World that... Right. I mean, that stuff is, there isn't going to be like a cost, like disparity between two restaurants. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
I agree. Julie Hyland said exactly what I was thinking. And I don't know if you guys have ever eaten here, but Trail's End.
Never done it.
I did the breakfast buffet. It was inexpensive. I don't remember exactly how much it was, but it wasn't very expensive and you got a lot of food. Dave, have you ever done Trail's End?
I have. You're right. You get a lot for a minor amount for Disney pricing. I did try to pick a restaurant that is sort of is not the most expensive at each park to give her an idea of, or Travis an idea of what was it. I mean, Liberty Tree Tavern isn't the most expensive one. I like Sci-Fi, Yak and Yeti, and Tutu Italian.
Okay. That makes sense. I really want to try the Yak and Yeti sit down. The menu looks wonderful.
It is. It's very different from the counter.
Yeah. So Katarina Dupree says, I have already bought tickets for a trip in October, but I'm looking to get annual passes in the next month. Do I get some money back for my trip in October? How does that work? There is definitely a way to upgrade your park pass to an annual pass. Dave, can you walk her through that?
Yes. Once you're at the park and before, you should do it your second or third day there before you still have to have a couple days left. You can go to the customer service and guest relations where they sell the annual passes and they will credit you the amount that you paid for your tickets and add it onto your park pass.
Okay.
I have customers do it occasionally.
Yeah, I mean, Girlfriend X just did that when she was down here. She upgraded her tickets to an annual pass. You know, it doesn't come cheap. I just renewed my annual pass, actually.
I think the breakdown is you have to do more than 14 days in a year
or something like that.
Which most of my customers don't, so.
Well, you know, like from a resident perspective, you know, because a resident annual pass, like when I bought it, I had to put down like $112 and then it was a certain amount per month. When I renewed it, I actually didn't have to put any money down. They didn't make me put the down payment down again. It just carried over basically.
So what, your monthly payment just goes up?
Yeah. Well, my monthly payment was going up anyway because of the memory maker.
Right.
But here's the thing. By renewing, I'm supposed to get a 15% discount. But they're also taking my down payment and putting it into the installment plan.
Right.
What this basically did was it basically just evened itself out and I'm paying like what the regular platinum monthly price is. So, there you go. Candace Pancala says, what is the best hotel for a 3.5-year-old in a wheelchair? Maybe zero entry or accommodations with poolside transfer for easy in and out. All right. I would say zero entry pools that immediately come to mind. Caribbean Beach, the main pool there has a zero entry as well as a Polynesian. Dave, I'm sure you did some research on this one.
Well, I did call one of my fellow travel agents whose daughter is wheelchair bound, right, and asked her what her favorite resorts were in each category based on the wheelchair accessibility. Mm-hmm. And her answers were Art of Animation.
Okay.
And the Caribbean Beach and Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Did she say why, or was it just kind of like...
she said Animal Kingdom was it was just a little bit easier for the wheelchair. And most of the deluxe pools do have zero entry. Right. But she said it was just everything design-wise, Animal Kingdom just was the easiest for her.
All right, that's good. It's good to know. That's a good question. Thank you, Candace. So Kirstie Louise Clark says, I am staying in Orlando again next year, last 2 weeks in April, doing Universal, Aquatica, Busch, and SeaWorld. How long would you suggest in each park? We have a 14-day ticket for all parks, though I want to factor in a day in Magic Kingdom and a day in Animal Kingdom to see the nighttime things. I can't come to Florida without visiting the world. Also, where would you recommend to eat on or around iDrive? Food is a massive part of our trips. Thanks. Okay, so she's going last 2 weeks in April. She's doing... all right, so let's take it park by park. Universal. Dave, I would say Universal can be done in one... I could say if you really power through it, it can be done in a day, if not 2 days.
2 days.
Yeah.
I would say 2 days, especially in April. I mean, it's still spring break.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so there'll be some lines, and if you don't want to pay for Express Pass, 2 days is a good factor for that. Aquatica, I have an annual pass for Aquatica, but I haven't gone yet. But I would say Aquatica, you really only need a day for that, like any water park.
Right.
Right, Dave?
Yes.
Now,
probably
a half day. I've never been to Busch Gardens, but I know you have, Dave, so, like, you know, have you been to Busch Gardens?
I have not been to Busch Gardens. That's Pete's question.
Well, I've been Busch Gardens in Virginia, not in Florida.
Okay, so yeah, we're going to be less than helpful on that one. You could probably do Aquatica and SeaWorld in one day, but SeaWorld closes pretty early. SeaWorld, again, you really only need a day for SeaWorld. You don't need any more than that. So any recommendations for food around iDrive, Dave?
Not really. I've eaten most of my food basically on Disney property.
All right, well, I've got one for her. I would recommend going over to the area by the Orlando Eye, which is the large Ferris wheel that is a sister to the London Eye. They have a whole like area there with a whole bunch of different restaurants. One restaurant in particular is called the Sugar Factory. It's not cheap, but it's really good. Like, they have like normal food, but they also have a lot of really great cool drinks. Girlfriend X had this like giant like margarita that her and her sister shared that had like lollipops overturned into it. It was really, really neat. They also have a Shake Shack there, which my brother and I went to, and it's really good. I like it a lot. So I'd recommend taking at least like a couple hours and just exploring that area. You've got the Orlando Eye, which, I mean, if you're from Europe, then, you know, the Orlando Eye is also, very akin to the London Eye, but you're getting a view of all of Orlando. And I think you can even order food in the Orlando Eye, like, to take in there with you. So I haven't done it yet. Yeah, it's affordable too. It's like, I think it's like $25 to go up, but I think there's usually Groupons for it. So they also have, right down the street from there is Ripley's Believe It or Not. They also have the Madame Tussauds Wax Museum and an aquarium right next to the eye in that same complex. There's also a skeleton museum, which
okay.
I was forced to spend far too much time in.
What do you mean? More than 5 minutes?
Oh, a lot more than 5 minutes. Yeah.
Why?
Because I wasn't in control of the situation.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, no, there were like, it's like, if you're into bones, it's pretty cool. But all right. So, Kirstie also says, I also forgot to ask, we cannot buy 1 or 2 day park tickets here in the UK after 2016. only 7 or 14 day. Where is the best place for me to buy smaller tickets once I'm in Orlando? I want to get them before the day we go so that we aren't wasting time queuing up in the morning. Also, how much should I expect to pay? Thanks. Can't wait for the show. All right. So, I mean, Dave, you could probably just pick them up, like, at the actual locations, right?
You can. Then you want to try to get them ahead of time so you can do some fast passing.
I think she meant for the other places, not just for Disney. Or maybe she did mean Disney.
I mean, I use Undercover Tourist a lot. I'm not sure if they would mail tickets to
the UK.
UK or not.
But I mean, yeah, it's true. Oh, I guess she was talking about Disney there. I mean, there's a million different places down here that say they offer discounted tickets. You can actually buy them through a lot of the hotels. I'm not sure where they're staying, but yeah, I mean, you know, not being able to fast pass is definitely something that, you know, can bite you.
Did you get the question about the wedding photography?
Yes, but both of these questions were the same person, so I wanted to just lump them together. Lindsay Jessup says, I would love Dave's opinion on the wedding photography package they can do. From quotes I've seen, it's like $1,700, but you get to go into the park in your wedding dress and suit, and they have a Magic Kingdom photo shoot. We'll be going to Disney for our honeymoon, and I'm dying to do this. All right, Dave, so I assume you have some info on this.
So I did make some phone calls, and you have to contact the Disney wedding planners. Now, the biggest thing I've found is, yes, you get to do your photo shoot, but you have to do it like at 4 or 5 in the morning.
Interesting.
I'm not doing that on my honeymoon.
Yeah, no.
I got to be honest with you. I would. I think it's totally worth it.
I can see that being worth it, especially because like at 4 or 5 in the morning, that's sunrise.
You get up one day of your life at 4 or 5 in the morning to have pictures that you are going to have for the rest of your life. If you guys do this, I'm totally jealous. I think that sounds awesome.
Yeah, Lindsay, do it. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it.
I think it sounds so wonderful.
Cool. Yeah, I think it sounds pretty neat. So they have that whole division over there that handles it, right, Dave?
Oh, they'll handle it, everything from it. I've done three honeymoons this past month with people coming down and just doing all the dining and stuff. And it's great because they go to all the two credit restaurants and things.
Right.
They start drooling when they make all their dining reservations.
Yeah, I'm sure. Sarah Engman asks, my family is coming down to Disney in the fall. It's going to be our first time doing the Food and Wine Festival. What are the best weeks to go? What do you recommend doing? And any hard ticket events we must try. We will be traveling without kids this time. Okay. Food and wine.
Well, I can tell you what the worst weeks to go are.
The first one and the last one.
First one and the last one. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Honestly, to kind of echo Pete there, I would go right in the middle. Be perfectly honest.
It's your best bet.
And if I would avoid weekends if possible, do it during the week more.
Oh, totally. Don't go Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're talking like a Wednesday, Thursday, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, if you have to go on a Saturday or Sunday, you have to go, but
yeah, but
I would try Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
I would as well. I mean, I would even steer clear of Mondays just because you got people coming for long weekends and whatnot. But if you're going to be here in that time period, I mean, totally go to Not So Scary. Even without kids, totally worth it.
You know, it's still hard. Isn't Not So Scary expensive also this year?
Yeah, it is expensive. Depending on when you go. Like, if she's going in September, it's not as expensive as if she's going in October.
I just had a friend tell me that they were going for the first time. And they're like, oh, should I do Very Merry? And I'm like, man, I almost can't recommend it. It's like $100 when they're going.
And Not So Scary is $72 for most dates in September. And then the end of September, it's like $85 for one day. And then $79 another day. Then October, it's like $86. Some days it's $95. You need a spreadsheet to figure this whole thing out.
As far as what I recommend doing during Food and Wine, eat. Eat a lot. Try everything. Get a passport and fill it up. And my advice is give yourself a set budget as to what you want to spend during Food and Wine while your family is there. And they sell little prepaid like gift cards.
Yeah, don't they go on your wrist?
Yep, they can go on your wrist. They can go on your keys. And so I would get one of those. And I actually also really like the little, I have one of the ones from this year, like the little trays that they give you, that they sell, the clear plastic trays.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's like a plastic tray. It says like International Food and Wine Festival. It's you know, like it's decent sized. But it also has a little receptacle for one of the tiny little wine cups.
Cool.
So I found that to be really cool as well and very useful. But yeah, fill up that passport and you know, get and use those gift cards because they are definitely a lifesaver. As far as hard ticket events, I mean, I would, if you're a big foodie or you know, a big wine person, they do those classes there as well, Dave.
Yes. I walked through one. I guess we had a training session once during that time. And I did, they had some a beer training on how to make beer at home. It was all right.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
And with all the micro beers now, it's like, why bother?
Right, I get you. Abby Causer says, what are your recommendations for doing Disney on a long weekend? Maybe Pete and Kevin can each talk about their must-dos or how to try all the new things. Pete, have you ever done a long weekend?
Yeah, I mean, when I originally started going, we pretty much exclusively did four-day trips just because of our work situations.
Before I lived here, I did the long weekend once, too. And I honestly, Abby, I think what it is you have to prioritize what you want to see and what you want to do.
Yep. Because what you're doing on the only day that's really questionable is that last day.
Yeah.
That travel day. That day four. Because, you know, for me, if I had to do it right now, I mean, it'd be Animal Kingdom, right? I mean, there's just...
Here's my thing. I feel like when people go for 3 days, they will usually drop one of the parks because they want to do
one park. Yeah, if you're doing 3 days, sure.
Because if you're trying to fit all four parks into a long weekend, that's really not, like, you're not going to see much in all the parks.
Right.
So my recommendation is actually not to, and I feel most people skip Animal Kingdom.
Right.
Almost exclusively, I feel like everyone skips Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
I have a lot of people who skip Epcot.
I could see
which wouldn't be me, but if you had kids, you might skip Epcot.
Not now,
if they're not into Frozen.
With Frozen and Soarin', not anymore.
I know.
I would say, honestly, my recommendation is if you have to skip one, and I can, like, 18-year-old me cannot believe I'm about to say this. Studios is the one that you skip.
Yeah, for like the next like couple months.
No, for the next couple years, Studios is the one you skip. And then once Star Wars and Toy Story open, Studios is the one that you go to first.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, just with the limited availability and all the walls, and with Animal Kingdom now offering nighttime activities, which are out of this world, I honestly say, you know, keep Animal Kingdom, skip Studios if you have to.
I wouldn't say that, but...
I'm a reformed DAC hater. I really, since I've moved down here, I've fallen in love with Animal Kingdom to the point, Peter Mandel, where it is now my second favorite park.
Wow, that's bold.
I really, really dig it. And honestly, I honestly feel like it was just, I'd only been there twice before I moved here, and it just kind of always fell on a bad day for me. And just, I really, really like everything to do with Animal Kingdom now. I really enjoy it. Everything from even Rafiki's Planet Watch I enjoyed.
Yeah, I like that.
So Cheryl Pavia one more time says, we will be taking a Disney cruise from New York in October. We will be a party of five. Party of five. Pete, I feel like you watched Party of Five.
I did not. Party of Five was one of the shows that followed 90210.
That's why I figured you were trying to fill the void. Yeah, I feel like you were trying to fill the void of 90210.
Yeah, no, quite the opposite.
Okay. All right.
She didn't like that show at all.
She says, it'll be me, my husband, 6-year-old son, grandmother, and grandma's sister. We get one day at Walt Disney World with a park hopper ticket loaded with 3 fast passes, any park, any attraction. Magic Kingdom is a must, and I don't want to hop more than 2 parks. Which parks would you go to? Where would you eat dinner? We like a nice meal, and it'll be my last day to use a Tables in Wonderland card, so a signature is okay. All right, so you have two parks to hop to. One of them is Magic Kingdom. So what is the other park?
Right.
Pete, I think both of you are going to say Epcot here.
Man, I don't know. I mean, you could make the case that with Animal Kingdom and Studios maybe not being insanely full-day parks at the moment, that you could get some, you know, ability to do a lot of things by hitting all those things.
I agree.
Mark hopping.
And so my recommendation is Animal Kingdom for that, 100%. Dave, what would you say?
Probably Epcot to catch the kids soaring.
Right.
Do that. But
ultimately I would take Epcot also.
And I do for the dining too. Monsieur Paul's or La Cellier, mm-hmm. something. But on the cruise ships, they do. I mean, it's a little heavy on the French for some of the restaurants. So maybe La Cellier or one of those.
I will tell you, with mine being Animal Kingdom, my recommendation for food would be Tiffin's because it's been getting rave reviews. I have a reservation for it on the 6th of July. I'm super duper excited about that, and I'll have a review for you guys the following show. But, or Yak and Yeti. Pete, what would your dining recommendation in Epcot be on a shortened trip?
Man, I mean, Le Cellier, I've kind of fallen back in love with Le Cellier a little bit, but I also like Chefs de France.
Okay.
I don't know. I had a good experience there last time. That duck really made me happy.
Good. I'm glad that.
But, I mean, geez, Epcot, there's so many restaurants, you know?
Yeah. And that's it for the questions this week.
All right.
Did we get the one about Andrew and the Four Seasons?
Did I skip one?
I don't remember answering about the Four Seasons.
Oh, I totally skipped one. Oh, bad Kevin. All right. Andrew Zona says, have you been to the Four Seasons yet? If so, what's your opinion? Do you feel like you're staying on Walt Disney World property? Any advantages of staying here versus a deluxe hotel? All right, Dave, I assume this one's all you.
I been to a tour of the Four Seasons. I've not stayed there. And then I have checked with a couple of travel agents who have stayed there. And both of them have said it's probably the best luxury hotel on Disney property, even ahead of Grand Floridian.
Really?
Yeah, they said how it just has a hint of Disney. So it's not all Disney-ish like some of the other ones, but the luxury level is way up.
Interesting. Pete, what do you think about that?
I think it makes sense. It's Four Seasons.
Yeah.
You know, for me, and I feel like for you, Kevin, luxury hotel, I don't spend a ton of time in my room. So
agreed. I honestly, for me, I would probably not ever do that.
Not sure it would work for me.
Yeah, because I like the Disney experience. Like, I would take a value resort with a picture of Mickey Mouse on the wall before that.
Yeah. Like, oh, I agree with you.
But, I mean, you know, if Dave's saying it's good, Dave's the expert, so.
Yeah, I mean, touring it, it's unbelievable. But the guests, the other travel agents who stayed there said it was unbelievable.
Thank you for calling me out on missing that question, Dave. I appreciate that.
I got to help my buddy Andrew out.
Yeah, seriously. All right. So that does it for the questions. Thank you all so much who wrote in questions. And if you didn't write in questions and you're like, oh, I should have written in a question, it's okay. We will have Dave back on very soon, and he will be answering questions. I always post it beforehand in our Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/groups/2menandthemouse, just hype when Dave's coming in so that we can start to gather up those questions from you guys. Okay, so anything else you guys want to add this week?
Matt, I think we covered a lot. I love these mailbag shows.
I do too. Dave, anything else you want to add?
The really strong rumor, the 2017 Disney rates are coming out hopefully tomorrow, but you never know with Disney. But if you're planning 2017, get ready.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Dave, so... obviously, Dave with Magical Travel, Disney travel agent, who, as you hear me say every week, will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Dave, if the Mousers want to get in touch with you to get a free price quote on a trip and then, book with you in the future, how would they go about doing that?
The easiest way is email at DisneyDaveW@Verizon.net is the easiest way.
Mm-hmm. All
right. Or my office number is 908-709-4199.
4199, there you go.
What would be the hardest way to get in touch with you?
I would say smoke.
Through Kevin.
Yeah, no, don't do that. I would say smoke signal would probably be the hardest way to...
Well, that's true. Smoke signal through Pete.
Yeah. Yes, please send all inquiries to Rogue Comics in Cranford, New Jersey. Pete will be happy to field them for you and pass them along to Dave. No,
he has done that.
Wouldn't be too bad, yeah.
You know, the best days to bother Pete with stuff like that are Wednesdays.
Yeah, Wednesday, preferably at store open.
Yeah, like right then, that is the perfect time to bother Pete. As I do pretty much every week. Kevin, I love to talk about this, but it's Wednesday here. Oh, no, sorry.
Let me tell you, someone calls me every week when I open the store on Wednesday. Like, people pour into the store, and, like, the phone rings, and somebody wants, like, to chat a little bit. And I'm like, I want to have this conversation.
Oh, so on Wednesdays, do you do an opening, like Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, yeah, I have, like, a routine.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's on YouTube already.
You're like, good morning, good morning.
Like, I have a whole song and dance.
Then, like, Spider-Man, Batman, and Superman arrive on the train that goes through Rogue Comics.
And they're like, isn't friendship great?
Yep, and then there's no conflict.
Right. I couldn't get any villains to do it. So
no villains show up during Peter Mandel's Royal Friendship Fair that kicks off every Wednesday morning at Rogue Comics. Pete, like, I really feel like you need to, I feel like as a marketing person, I have to tell you that adding some flair and some pizzazz and some showmanship to your Wednesday mornings might really help out.
You might be right about that.
Yeah. So, I look forward to seeing what you're going to be incorporating.
We'll work on it.
Yeah. Rogue Comics around the world. Rogue Comics over California, maybe.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. Out of California.
You can get Patrick Warburton on the TV that you got in there. Rogue Comics to nerds. We are ready for read-off.
I love that guy.
I love that guy, too. All right, so we about done for this week?
I think so. Oh, we're still recording?
Yeah, we are.
Oh.
That's going to do it for Two Men and the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. And Dave, thank you as always for coming in and joining us here, as you always do, for these mailbag shows. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right, folks, please give the show some love on Facebook. You can find it at facebook.com/twomenandthemouse. We're on Twitter at Two Men and the Mouse, Instagram at White Dragon PN, and also the White Dragon Podcast Network can be found at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network and on Twitter at White Dragon PN. Folks, if you like the show, please do us the honor of sharing it with a friend or a family member. Tweet it out, talk it up. Give us a rating and review in iTunes. Every little bit helps us out tremendously, and it's only through your kind words and praise that this show will continue to grow and prosper. If you love our good friend and co-host Peter Mandel, visit him, preferably not on a Wednesday, at Rogue Comics in Cranford, New Jersey, which you can find at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. I mean, you can visit him on a Wednesday, but if you want to actually, like, say hi before you pick something up from the store and talk to him, Wednesdays are probably not your best day to do it.
I don't know. It's an experience in here on Wednesdays. You know that.
Yeah. Oh, no, I remember. Also, people, I feel like some folks have tried to come into the store on a Sunday. I know one listener told me they tried to come on Sunday and they saw Sean, and I guess they thought Sean was you. He doesn't work on Sundays.
No, I mean, yeah, it's my one day with the kids, so.
He does not look like I thought he'd look.
Why is he so bummed out?
You sound much different in real life. What do you think Peter Mandel thinks Final Crisis is the greatest comic book story of all time? All right, folks, and if you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Adventures by Disney, any Disney resort throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, or Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida, please, please, please talk to our good friend Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who plans your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Email Dave at DisneyDaveW@Verizon.net or check him out on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave. If you want to apply the Wisdom of Walt to your daily life, please head over to thewisdomofwalt.com and pick up the Wisdom of Walt, Leadership Lessons from the Happiest Place on Earth by Jeffrey Barnes, that teaches you how to apply the teachings of Walt Disney and his creation of Disneyland to your daily life. If you're going to be renting a crib or stroller in Walt Disney World within the next little bit, go to our good friends over at kingdomstrollers.com, who will deliver the crib or stroller of your dreams right to your Disney resort. And for me, folks, my novel, Rocinante, is out there. Please check it out on Amazon. You can find it both in ebook and paperback formats. It's also available in ebook version on Nook, iBooks, and other fine ebook retailers. Again, it's Rocinante, Rocinanti. Follow my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/KevinJKesslerAuthor, and join the official Rocinante fan page at facebook.com/groups/Rocinante. All right, that does it again this week. Pete, any closing words?
No, good show. Good answers, Dave.
Yes, thank you, Dave. Dave, any closing words?
Yeah, have a great week. Enjoy the big 4th of July coming up. By the last time I'll be before they see you guys. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Happy 4th.
All right, folks, please keep the magic alive every day of your lives. We will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.